in our life. And we looked at some things that bring some fruit in our lives. But before we get into it, I got your brains thinking. Let's do our prayer list real quick before I get off track. John chapter 16, I believe. John 15:16. I seen this and I have to read it. There's a new pastor coming into a church of the Sunday school. Teacher thought it'd be wise if all the students wrote something to the pastor to encourage him as he arrived to the church. So some of the results were like this as each of the kids wrote something to the pastor. Dear pastor, I know God loves everybody, but he never met my sister. I like that. Dear pastor, my father should have been the new minister instead of you. Every day he gives us a new sermon about something. Dear pastor, I'm sorry I can't leave more money in the plate, but my father didn't give me a raise from my allowance. Could you have a sermon about raising allowances? Dear pastor, my mother is very religious. She goes to play bingo at church every week, even if she has a cold. Dear pastor, I think a lot more people would come to your church if you moved it to a playground. Dear pastor, please say a prayer for our little league team. We need God's help on our new pitcher. And dear pastor, my father says I should learn the Ten Commandments. But I don't think I want to. Now listen, because we have enough rules already in my house. Dear pastor, I liked your sermon on Sunday, especially when it's finished. I know, oh my. John chapter 15, verse 16. Who can read it for me? Caleb, thank you very much. Read it good and loud for me. 16. Isn't that something that Jesus says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." You hear these people, "Well, you're not ordained to do that. You're not ordained to do that." Well, right here it says, "Ye are ordained to do what?" It says that I have not chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask in my Father's in my name, you may give it you. So it's something to think that you're supposed to bear fruit. And I love how Pastor, his message last week, they intertwined with the Sunday school because he was talking about the radiant light, and we know the light of God Himself, the light from His Word. Without it, you'll wither and die. And likewise, same as the sun outside, everything's growing beautiful. The springtime's here. Everything's flourishing. We're throwing seeds in the ground, watching things getting ready to grow. But without light, it will die. And the key thing, you're planting to get more fruit. It's amazing, one little kernel of corn, you put one in the ground, and it brings forth some 100-fold, some 300-fold to that one kernel. How many kernels are on it here? Anybody know? A lot. A lot. Or you could be like the Indians did. They planted seven in each hole. They put a fish in a hole, seven seeds in a hole. So why'd they put seven seeds? Well, they said two for fox, two for crow, two to rot, and one to grow. So that's what you probably have a lot of suckers to pull out of the ground, you know, because too many come up. So bearing fruit, God wants us to bear fruit for Him. And we know according to Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Which we know according to God's word, works means fruit, something people see. And there's things people see that we use in examples. My wife had one of the first ones is our speech. What happened to the disciples? Even when they tried to separate themselves from the Lord, what did they say? Your speech betrayeth you. They knew who they'd been with because they talked different. Now, was they Southern drawl, or was they hillbillies, or was they Texans? No, it's how they spoke. There must have been words of kindness somehow. There's just something people seen in them. Was they hateful words? I doubt it. I don't think a disciple would be hateful and say, you've been with Jesus. Was they boisterous and proud or arrogant? I don't think those would be in tune either. They wouldn't think they'd be with the Lord. So bearing fruit. Now I got two illustrations I'm going to try to pull off here this morning. You can turn to Hebrews 13 for me. Hebrews 13, verse 5. David, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Josh, I need you to look up 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. I'm going to have you read a few. David, you found Hebrews 13 yet? Could you please stand and read good and loud so everybody can hear you? Yep. Now here's my thought. Thank you very much. As I see clear back in the Ten Commandments were ways for you to bear fruit in your life. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not have thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. And the word covet here in America is probably one of the biggest things we've probably got that creeps in our churches that gets our minds off the things of God. We'll start seeing something and want it. Or we'll see somebody else in their life and just... And David, I know how it is. You see that guy with the truck? We seen one yesterday. It stood this tall. You needed an elevator to get in the thing. And you seen it, and that part of that flesh rises up and says, wow, look at that. And I said, Josh, hey, look. He said, wow, he looks at that. And immediately, we're spellbound. We're taken and starting to covet. Now, you'd never do that, Brother Allen. God help the Lord. He'd keep it to himself. I'm just trying to be honest, but it's so easy to covet things. I mean, it's different looking at something and seeing and said, boy, that's nice, and stop there, end it there, draw the line, and don't go no further. So it's very easy for us. So this verse here says, let your conversation or lifestyle be without covetousness. So it's something somebody can see in your life. Are you a covetous person? Do you constantly coveting after this, after that, after this? I mean, it's a rut we could get in. And if somebody's examining our lives and watching you, is it fruit that they want to see that glorifies God? Is it light that glorifies our Heavenly Father? Is it light that shines for Him? But it's something they see. So that's what I'm trying to get out. And it's probably one of the worst things. Christmas time is probably the worst time ever of people coveting. We live in a world of coveting. Springtime comes, everybody's wanting everything. And it's a competition with the Joneses who can have the prettiest yard. And they'll buy things and put things on a credit card that they don't even need, but they'll stick in your yard because the neighbor's got one. And what are you doing? So we need to be very, very careful. So here it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never... So what's he saying? If I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, why does he put that in there with that? Who can tell me? Why does the Lord put that in His Word that way? And He throws it right in there. Pastor's done chewing on it. He's right there already. I hear him over groaning. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So if you're coveting, you're saying he's forsaken you. I'll just fill the blank in for you. What did the children of Israel do all the way through? They did what? Murmured and what? They was never content. Content means satisfaction. So if you're not satisfied with God, you're not content with Him. He's not enough. I need better. That's what we're saying. I don't want this. I want better. I want more. Look, Josh, read for us. Now keep reading. Keep reading. It's too good. Oh, godliness. What did it say? With contentment, with satisfaction, with God, you're enough. How do missionaries go on the field and do it? Because God is enough. God is enough. They're putting things on the other side. Their vision is over yonder. Off in another world somewhere. That's where their heart's at. So perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. What's this health and wealth bunch do on TV? Oh, my soul. Oh, let's plant some seed. You got some money. Plant it here and God will bless you with health and wealth. Amen. Yes, sir. They do that, though. They'll pray on the week to say, come sow this way. Give us your money. And they're supposing that gain is godliness. No. Yeah. With such withdraw thyself. That's what it says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Not just some gain. It said great gain. For we brought nothing in this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment lit us be there with content. Satisfied. So we need to have fruit that the world looks at us and sees whatever you have. The first thing they're going to see if you're content, if God is enough for you. If He's not, they're going to pick up real quick. They're going to know. They're going to say, well, you're worse off than I ever thought of being. You ain't got nothing I need. And that's what they'll pick up on. They see something in your life that says, despite your life, what happens, good or bad, you're content. You just keep plugging. You just keep being happy. You just keep serving God. And they see that. And they'll pick up. And they'll see that. And that light begins to start shining. Brighter and brighter and brighter. And they start seeing them fruits that they get off and they'll take a bite out of you. And say, man, I want what they got. They have something I need in my life. So, but they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts which draw men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, there's that word again, that they erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrow. Now I got just enough time. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. We're going to get a little picture of coveting, what coveting can do. Now remember, this is we're looking at fruits that are good fruit, but we're examining some bad fruit here. Some examples of bad fruit that clearly God's clearly against. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. So we need to watch what we do because people are watching. People see. And that's what this lesson's for, that we may have something they see and they said, man, despite what's going on in their life, they just keep plugging, they keep serving, they keep smiling. God seems to be everything they need in life. It seems like God's filling it for them. They always got a song in their heart. They're always just got a smile for it. Always got a good word of encouragement. Always just on the up and up. I need some friends like that. That's a good beer. That's why I like coming to church, because usually I find a few here and then I like it. Because it encourages you. It's why we come to edify and build up one another. Go back out and it's bear some fruit for the Master. So Joshua chapter 7, I'll read, follow with me. Well, we know the story, but there's some key words I want us to stop and look at. So chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is before Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, and let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither. But they are but few. So they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men. For they chased them before the gate into Zebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and become as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, and until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, listen, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? What do God, we had been, what's the word? Content. Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. What causes people to rob God? They're not content. They want it all. That's just the truth. Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do to that great, thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned and had also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. That's why we end up goofing. We end up coveting and falling. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore. Now what did the other one say? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did you catch that? And what happened here? Where was the Lord? The Lord wasn't with them here, was he? The Lord left. Lord left them there by themselves, and they run from their enemies. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the cursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is a cursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to the tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the families which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the cursed name shall be burnt with fire, and he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Remember what he said? Wrought to God, we'd have been content. There's a big thing there. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought the people of Judah, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zebdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian's garment, he saw something, and what'd he do? He wanted it. Didn't care the consequences. He just saw something and wanted it. A goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now real quick, I'm going to read down. Verse 25. Well, let's read 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep. Sound like they took everything. Because he saw and coveted. And his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones. Boy, talk about a rough bunch. Somebody goof up here, we go out here in the parking lot, and everybody get a rock. Stand you up. Boy, that's a rough way to go. Boy, I hope they hit you in the head first and get it over with. That's what they did. Him, his daughters, his asses, his sheep, his tent, all that he had. Whole family. And they started throwing. Because he coveted. Whew. Just not being content. Not being content. That verse, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as he has, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In other words, God is enough. God is enough in our lives. And that's what people need to see. That's that fruit that they need to see that's so elegant, so wondrous, and it shines so great. And they look at it and they say, I want that. Whatever you got, I want it. You ain't got the fancy cars. You ain't got the fancy homes. You ain't got the fancy clothes. But they see something in your life that's desirable. And it's your attitude, your speech, your life. It's something they can pluck off of you, Miss Dixie, and take a bite out of it and say, Ben, I want what she's got. And they'll see it. Whether you're humming all the time, despite you jam your finger, cut yourself, whatever it may be, and you just keep plugging along. Despite having to bust a rib and keep on plugging along, singing your little hymns. That's fruit. That's a type of fruit. We're going to look at all kinds of fruit. Do some examining. Use scripture. I believe stories in the Bible are using them as illustrations about the best things you can find. Because it's real life. It's already happened. We just look at it, and it's history. You learn that too. Fruit. And He's ordained you that you bear much fruit. Caleb, you got a mission field right there in your college. They're watching you. Brother Mike's down at the store. Miss Sarah's at her work. Brother Ken's at his work. We all got our people, your family, your neighbors. Next time they see you smash your thumb, praise God in your house. That's a tough one. I know God says in Bible college, everything that happened, He always praised the Lord despite. He got a flat tire. He goes, well, praise God. One day he fell down the stairs and broke his foot. He moaned and groaned and finally got on one foot. And they said, well, we got him now. It seemed thank God for this. He goes, praise God, it could have been 2 feet. Amen! It could have been 2. He's seen the positive still. And still, it could have been both hands, just not one. Praise God. Amen. He's ordained you to bear fruit. You shine for Him. Let's pray. Father, to God, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your Word. It's so powerful, Lord. And it surely cuts and it soothes. It comforts. It strengthens, Lord. It does everything we have need, Lord. Help us, dear God, I pray, in the message to come. Bless each mother, dear God, that You put a hedge about them in their lives. For God, realize they have fruit to be desired also. All the kids, grandkids are watching and seeing. And Lord, and likewise us fathers, and we all have responsibilities. Our conversation be without covetousness. Help us, Lord. Be content, Lord. You shine through us. Bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.